talk about creating or achieving an equal future in a COVID-19 world. But really, guys, what is an equal future? It is not just about gender gaps that we have to look into. It is really multidimensional. Aside from gender making our world not equal, what are the other pillars? Age, maybe? Think about it. Good morning, everybody! Happy, happy Saturday, and welcome back to another episode of B2B, Breakfast to Business with your morning girl, Bea Lim, also the managing director of Team Asia. Now, guys, you know we are on our third season already, and it is really in this season that we talk shop, we talk life, we talk advocacies, we talk real over a big side of breakfast. So grab your biggest mug of coffee, tea, or orange juice, whatever it is that you want to drink, because today we are continuing the conversation of discovering businesses, startups, advocacies that really thrived during the pandemic and will you know, continue to thrive and make waves in the now normal. And of course, honoring the people behind it, which, by the way, are fantastic lady bosses. We are honoring these lady bosses for the month of March. As you guys know, we celebrated IWD, or International Women's Day, last March 8th. And we are just continuing this fabulous celebration of womanhood and an equal future in this COVID-19 world throughout March. So today, guys, I am super excited because, you know, we are actually bringing in the three-part series with a very special focus on financial services, which is super relevant to everybody and is something that, you know, we should know more about. It, you know, it was a sensitive topic, especially in the pandemic, but also very relevant because I really do believe that we survived 2020 with all of the changes, the evolution, the new innovations from the financial space. So, you know, we started off the discussion with Keisha Mayuga on transport and mobility. We also talked to Angela Chen of Escolabs, and she talked about EdTech, you know. And both these fabulous ladies talked about bringing women into the planning process, getting women into the table, right? Getting more women to the table and just really planning for a more inclusive world. Today, we are talking financial services, and I have a fantastic lady boss that is celebrating awesomeness with me this morning. And she is none other than Maureen Ledesma, who is the co-founder and CMO of Vessel and was recognized actually by Tatler's Asia's Gentee List 2020 for launching one of Southeast Asia's most important financial services. Prior to co-founding Vessel, Maureen has worked in various banking roles and later structured trade finance deals in London. She has a bachelor's in finance management from De La Salle University, Manila. Animo La Salle, fellow La Sallean here. And also a master's degree in financial management from Vlerick Business School in Brussels. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I am bringing to B2B Breakfast in Business, Miss Maureen Ledesma. Hey Maureen, fantastic morning to you.
Thank you for such a warm welcome. And I'm very, very happy to be here and be sharing my story with you.
Awesome. I'm super excited, Maureen. I'm so honored that you are here with us because I really do want to talk financial services today. And I felt that you were really the perfect person to bring this piece of the conversation together. So thank you so much. Maureen, before we even started off
in the morning.
Yes. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'd say good with a question mark. I mean, I'm with my mom in the province, so I'm really out of Manila. So it's I've been out of the hustle and bustle of busyness, and you know, being under pressure all the time of running a business since I graduated in college. So you know, I've always been trying to pressure myself, but now that I'm back, believe me not, this is the first time that I've been home since kindergarten. This is the longest.
Like, wow.
Before I only stay for like 1 month or 2 months here in the province with my parents, you know, and uncles and titas. But now I'm here for a year now. It's actually today's the anniversary.
Happy anniversary!
Since the lockdown. I've been well. I've discovered a new side of myself who's more relaxed and just really letting things flow. So I'm in that state.
Oh, I am so happy for you. I am rooting for you, Maureen. Sometimes all we need also is a different perspective and a different view. Literally. Like a different view. Literally. Yes. So I'm happy that you are enjoying not only province life, but also that new flow that you were talking about, right? Like, you know, getting yourself out of the hustle bustle and seeing how you can transform so many things from a different perspective. Really, mm-hmm. truly the gift of technology and connections, exactly. right?
No other better time to have this pandemic than 2020.
I know. That's the silver lining, right? That's the silver lining. Yeah. So Maureen, I know that, you know, I shared already that this is like a three-part series. We've talked mm-hmm. to two other lady bosses that have really talked about, you know, their own advocacies and the companies that they have put together and really pushed forward through the pandemic. And you know, we really want to go back to the proverb that actually sparked this whole, you know, idea of bringing all of you guys together, which is really that necessity is the mother of invention. And we've seen this proven countless of times, but especially during the COVID-19 pandemic. So what I want to do today is to get to know the financial services sector a little bit more through Vessel, which is your company. So before mm-hmm. we even go deep dive into all of my questions on financial services, tell me more about Vessel. Go ahead.
Okay, so Vessel actually started in my brain, in my head, when I was working in London as a trade finance administrator. So my job there basically was to make sure that the company has money day in, day out, right? So I call the banks, I go to my desk, I tell them, hey, can you give me a couple of thousand US dollars to finance this transaction? And then this banks, the first thing that they would ask is, okay, is this transaction insured? So in case that end buyer in South Africa or somewhere, they don't pay, is this insured? Is the insurance gonna pay for the non-payment? So yeah, of course. And then, because we always ensure all our transactions there in London. And then, so the lenders, the bankers, they would always give me, of course, you know, the funding. But more than that, they actually give a better rate, cheaper in interest rate. So I was thinking, wow, how come I never heard of trade credit insurance back in the Philippines? And I asked my mom, who's in trading, and everyone else I know who's in, you know, we're in Negros, so it's sugar trading. And nobody heard of trade credit insurance, really. And so that's where it all started. And so I said, wow, I have to bring back something to my homeland from, you know, working abroad. So I thought of a platform where transactions are insured. And once they're insured, then we introduce these insured transactions to the lenders. And then the lenders would then, you know, instead of you waiting for your money to come in 90 days, you can get the money now from the lenders at the back of insured transactions. So that's basically it. So Vessel started in 2017, as I said. We incorporated first in Singapore because the startup scene there was just really booming. 2017, we joined an accelerator. We had some funding, seed funding in 2017, 2018, pilot transactions, you know. Things got exciting in 2019. We had to go back to the Philippines because Singapore, there were some structural issues and et cetera. So we went, we thought it's really time to offer Vessel in the Philippines in 2019 because we found ourselves a partner there, here, a lending partner. So here we are. 2020 came the pandemic. We had more issues, but I can talk more about that later. Long story short, we were able to help businesses get insurance and financing, and I believe we're just starting. I mean, we're just in the beginning of this whole long journey.
I love that. I love that you said that, you know, we are just starting. There's just a tremendous beautiful future for you guys, but for us also, right? In the Philippines, because we have folks like you guys that are pushing this forward. So, Maureen, you talked already about the inspiration behind, right? Like how it started in your brain, something that you've learned in London, wanting to bring it back here in the Philippines, and also because it was inspired by your hometown. But I also wanted to dig a little bit deeper to you. What was the human need that you were trying to respond to, specifically in the Philippines?
Yeah, of course, there's uncertainty. There's uncertainty in a lot of things. And in doing business, there's so much uncertainty and you can't really trust the other side unless you know them, unless there's a relationship, right? But then if you are constrained with that relationship, what if you're, you know, what if you're selling to someone abroad? You're in the Philippines, you're selling someone in Malaysia. You can't always know someone in Malaysia. But you want to expand your business, right? What if your business is just cannot be limited to the Philippines anymore? So what do? You really, basically the whole financial system, it's all about trust. You give your money to the bank. You give your, you know, you in trading, it's the same. When you're paying your counterparty, when you're sending the goods to your counterparty in Malaysia, your buyer, you have to make sure they pay. So sometimes you have to put the trust in the hands of a third party, like an insurance company. Yeah. So that's the need.
So that you wanted.
Yeah.
Actually,
I also want to highlight, Bea, that how come you've never heard of trade credit insurance before? Because honestly, I haven't heard of trade credit insurance before I worked in London, even though I took finance and even though I had a master's in finance. And that's because insurance companies don't really market this type of product to the small businesses because there's an upfront premium required. You know how in airlines before when you have to fly, it's not payment per flight. It's not payment of insurance per flight. It's usually for the entire year. So it has evolved. And again, you know, you can pay for the insurance per travel. So actually I skipped this important detail earlier, but Vessels platform allows your company to pay for the insurance per transaction. Because if you go to the big insurance companies, they're used to getting the premium for your entire year, which makes it a bit more expensive because they ask you for your entire sales for the next year. And then they get a percentage of that for premiums. So if it's $1 million or, you know, 50 million pesos, they get something of that. But if your transaction is 100,000 pesos, they're not going to accept it. But with our platform, you can get it insured for 1,000 pesos. Ensure na yung the entire transaction. Yeah.
Thank God for Vessel.
Yeah, it's a good idea, but the implementation is all the challenge and it's a different story and I can talk more about it later.
Baka no, mabulungan na yung kumakain. but actually, that was my next question, right? Because first, I wanted to tell you, I didn't hear about trade credit insurance until I found out about you, right? So it's not just about the need of business certainty and trust, but it's also about knowing that this is actually available and that, you know, this could really help you in terms of growing your business. And so I think that you answered those needs, making it, you know, available, but also getting more people to know more about it and giving them the option. Yeah, giving them the option to have it as they grow their business. This is fabulous. I love it. So my next question really was, what was the challenge, right? You know, it's something new. You're bringing it to the Philippines. You said it wasn't upfront before. Yeah. Tell me about the challenges.
Okay. There are a lot of challenges, of course. First was getting people to trust us that we can do this. So the fundraising part was a challenge, and it still is, especially during the pandemic. The biggest challenge I would say would be, actually it's a tie between marketing, which, you know, getting people to know about it. We're already doing what we can do on this, the marketing, getting people to know about more about the product. So we speak with DTI and all those stuff, you know, we educate people. But the other challenge I would say would be getting this product together, because we're not an insurance company, so we have to partner with insurance companies who are willing to, you know, to think outside of the box and offer this product on a per invoice basis and be, you know, be our partner. So you've heard about fintechs. Banks are dinosaurs, but they have innovated. You know, there's a more primitive type of dinosaur, you know, it's the insurance industry. And talking to these guys, you know, the general insurance guys, it's not even life insurance. Life insurance is way ahead of general insurance. Talking to these guys has been a challenge. And really, it's more about making, it's chicken and egg. They don't want to put the product in unless there's a market. So we had to really try to put both together, like the marketing and then the product before. So long story short, it probably took us more than a year to set it up in the Philippines. And we're not, because it's because of the industry, the nature of the industry. They're slow moving, especially if you're asking for claims. They're slow moving. But yeah, that has been the challenge.
Putting it together and bringing it here, right?
Yeah.
But then I see you guys as shaking up the industry also,
yes.
Right? Like with the change and
yes.
So I do have a quick question, right? Because yeah. You were talking about it earlier that, you know, fintech space. So is this also insurtech?
Yes, it's insurtech. I actually told Vince earlier that we call ourselves FinSurtech, so it's like a hybrid of FinTech and
I love InsurTech. That.
Yeah.
FinSurtech.
Yes. The pandemic has posed a new type of challenge for us, though. And I'd say it's in the financing side, because before we didn't have any problem looking for lenders who can offer better rates, especially in Singapore. But the pandemic has slowed down the lenders. If not slowed down, the pandemic has actually made it difficult for lenders to offer at cheap rates, because there were a lot of companies that are folding. So they really just have to increase their rates. And it actually brought us to really up our game. And I'll tell you more about it later.
So if that was the biggest challenge also of the pandemic, how did you guys actually overcome that, Maureen? Because I can just imagine, I mean, everybody, the first thing that everybody like scrimped on was money, really, during the pandemic, right? Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We were fighting the pandemic head on from a health perspective and a personal safety perspective. But mm-hmm. as business owners, the first thing we needed to do was, hey, conserve our resources, because we didn't know how far this was going. I mean, we're here one year later and we're still in this position. Mm-hmm. So what did you guys do? How did you guys do that? Get over this particular hump?
Yeah. As you said, everyone was trying to make sure that they have their own money. That's true also for investors. So we were fundraising at the beginning of the pandemic. And so we only managed to close like less than what we were supposed to close. And we made do with that. But that's been a challenge also for us. But on the client side, on the product side, probably for more than 6 months, or maybe about 6 months, 5-6 months, we weren't able to find proper lenders for our clients. So what we did as Vessel did is we partnered with a fund in Singapore. So this was the big news, which is really good actually last year. We partnered with Passion Venture Capital, which is a fund manager in Singapore who's raising $30 million to fund trade credit insured transactions. So the interest rates here, as we have noted, should be much cheaper than, you know, the alternative lenders that are existing in the Philippines. So it should be just around 1.5% per month versus to what's available now that are around 3% per month. So it's like it cuts it to half. So it's much better than the available options. But we're happy that we have found this partner. And it wasn't a walk in the park. We had to talk to everyone and really find the perfect partner for us and the perfect set of clients to go with it.
I can just imagine. How was it like doing business actually during COVID-19? Because I know you guys are a platform. I know it wasn't a walk in the park finding these partners. But how was it to keep Vessel pushing forward in a time of a crisis?
Of course, we had to make some sacrifices as well. Other than cutting our people in half. Regarding partners, I had to literally look through the phone book and see which ones are ready to help. Like from Singapore, Belgium, London, everywhere. Like really, Philippines. Like I said, it has been for 6 months. We didn't have any lending partners to match that are at par with the requirements of our borrowers, of course, on the platform. Because they pay for the insurance, right? So they kind of demand better rates, better interest rates. That's what we have to look for them. So.
So it was matching. It was matching demand with the supply.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for businesses who actually care to pay for insurance, these are the type of good risks. These are the businesses who care about managing their risks if they pay for insurance. So it wasn't just, we didn't just look for one partner. Actually, we also had help from, we have a brokerage partner, Philinsure. Thank God for them. I was bringing us, expertise. And we also have like a consulting company help us, like Oceans and Ripple. It's in the press release anyway. But yeah, we have, how do you say this? It's really a group of entities helping each other to make it happen, to make sure that there's a product. And I would say we're not yet done in finalizing the product. We're still trying to make it work, the fund, the 30 million, how to disperse it in the Philippines. So hopefully by the end of this month, that would be our time to start lending. And you'll hear more about it.
No, great. I absolutely. And let me know. Let me know how we can help spread the news as well, Maureen. So actually, on that note, I know that it wasn't easy. You guys had to make tremendous sacrifices. I feel you. I hear you, girl. We were right there with you. But things are looking up, right? While, yes, we are still in the pandemic, it's still very much happening a year into the lockdown and the like. How has the first 3 months, actually, of 2021 been for Vessel?
2021, So I spoke about the flow earlier. So it's really more chill. We're not really pressured by, The bad thing about the pandemic is it has kind of dropped the number of our clients, but then it also means less pressure from them. The kind of products that Vessel offers is something that should thrive in the pandemic. It's trade credit insurance, making sure you get paid. And so we're just really trying to make sure that all the pieces are together, and then we're gonna soar high.
Yeah.
We make sure all businesses know about this product.
And B2B and Team Asia, we're here to like root for you.
Thank you.
Because this is a fabulous product, Maureen, and really a fantastic vision. Because if there's anything that we learned from 2020, is we gotta be ready. We have to make sure that we've got savings in check, that we're taking care of our resources and that we have something on a rainy day. And having your product and actually that extra layer of protection can allow us business continuity, right? As we pave the path for the future. So this is fabulous. I am rooting for Vessel and you, Maureen. and see how we can make noise, right? For 2021. Now, if you will allow me, I'd like to shift gears a little bit, you know, because I've spoken about the future so much that I also want to, of course, talk about, you know, the other reason why we're here, which is to honor the fabulous people behind such great innovations like you, women in leadership. And, you know, when we launched International Women's Day and, you know, about 2 weeks ago, you know, the big theme really was women in leadership achieving an equal future in a COVID-19 world, which is, there's so many things happening in that one sentence, right? It's women in leadership. It's creating an equal future where all genders, whatever it is that you identify yourself with, right, are given equal rights, an equal shot at a future in a very transformative time, right, which is COVID-19. So I just wanted to check in with you what you feel about, you know, women in leadership, right? And how you feel about gender equality in your sector, financial services. You know, last week I was talking to Angela Chen, right? And we were talking about, you know, the confidence gap, right, between men and women, yes, in certain industries, right? So I want to check in with financial services. Do you actually think that there is gender equality in the financial services already?
From my perspective, it has always been easy, I'd say, personally, yeah, because I'm the type of person who would really tell myself, if somebody else can do it, if he can do it, why can't I, right? I'm also human. What's the difference? I have ovaries, that's it. But I guess, Angela, I would kind of second Angela, because there has been, of course, in finance or in fundraising, actually, that's where you would notice the difference. Men tend to be more confident. They would exaggerate. They would be more aggressive in fundraising. Whereas when women, when we present to investors, we really show them what we can do, and it's more realistic. Because we kind of are shy if we don't hit our goals, right? So we put that margin into consideration. But then, you know, that's not something that we cannot learn from. But I guess this only means that women, we have to assert ourselves more, especially when pitching to investors. And it actually really matters. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you show yourself versus your gender, you know, in fundraising. That's
love it. Yeah. So I just wanted to check in also with you, Maureen, because earlier I love what you said. I'm human too. If you can do it, I can do it. Like, you know, I love that you just said I'm human too. We're equal, you know. We're all humans here, therefore we can do it. But the reality is also that while there is a lot of progress in certain areas, the reality is there is still a gender gap, so to mm-hmm. speak, right? Mm-hmm. In certain industries, or like what you said, in certain countries, I like that, or categories, right? With your own personal experience, I know you've worked in Europe. I know that you were also in Singapore, right? Mm-hmm. And with all of your experience in this particular sector, what do you think we need to do to make the workplace inclusive, regardless of the category or the industry?
Actually, for women, we have to, of course, it's our responsibility to step up more so that you don't feel, you know, left out. In some case, it's like we spoke about this. Sometimes it's not really about your gender. Sometimes it's about, you know, how you look. And, you know, sometimes I could look like a teenager, and it doesn't bode well, especially if you're in meetings with potential partners or investors. So it's something that sometimes I have to work on, and, you know, appear more mature than I am, like wear something to really make more for them to respect what you say. Yeah.
So sometimes it's other elements, right? It may not be your gender. Yeah. So sometimes, yeah, age comes into play, right? So what are the challenges that you feel we need to break down then?
I guess it's more, to me, it's more psychological than really anything. Because if like I said, it's really the energy. It's really how you put yourself out there. It's how you, because I guess, you know, if you're running your company, you're, I, for example, me, I'm the boss. If you see someone who's stepping up, who I don't really look at what kind of who they are, if they're a female or a male. If they have a good idea, then hey, go do it. And I'll let you run that idea, you know, because it's your idea. So it really has nothing to do with, I guess, my advice there then would be just to really step up. And you don't put the responsibility of being included to other people. You have to do it yourself. You know, you just have to think that they're human too. Like I said, who are you? We're just the same people here.
Yeah. So it's really psychological. Like what you said, I love what you said. It's psychological. It's in your head, like how you perceive certain things. If you, like, you know, if you see that people are human and that, you know, everybody is equal, and like what you said, you reward or you let the person run away with that idea regardless, right? Regardless of who they are, right? Because it is about the work, not because of what they wear, right? The ideology.
I guess I would take this. No, this is how I think even when I was in elementary school. I remember when my teacher asked me to get chalk from another classroom. And it happens that the next door classroom was a fourth year or a senior high school classroom. And I'm only in grade 5. So I would first be shy, but then I would breathe in and tell myself that they're also only human. Honestly, I really always do that. So it builds confidence.
Absolutely. And I think that's something, Maureen, that everybody has to imbibe, right? That you're human. You have every right to be here.
Right. I was born.
Yeah, exactly. Whether it is to get a piece of chalk, right? Or to demand, not demand, but to get fundraising, you deserve to be there.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. No,
but you know, Maureen, you also highlighted such an important element of the conversation, right? I know we're talking about gender equality, but you raised a very, very important thing that if we actually want to achieve a more equal future in a COVID-19 world, there are other things actually that are entrenched in our minds and in our society, in our culture that we need to break down. And one of them is age, right?
Right.
You know, there are a lot of things. And I know that if we open this, it's going to be like a 5-hour conversation.
It's another conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. But thank you, Maureen, for highlighting that. Because, you know, if you think about it, if we think about the issues that we have on gender gap, ha, and the issue on equality, with what you just said, it's like you are removed twice over, right? There's a gender gap, you're a woman, and then there's an age gap, you're younger. So it puts you pa at this twice over, right?
Can I add? If you're playing in the international field, your skin color also plays a part.
No, thank you. Thank you for being brave and saying that, because it's so true, right? There is that issue there that it actually happens often, but not a lot of people talk about it. And that's why we're here today. We want to talk about it.
Yes.
So Maureen, you've played in the international market. You're a proud Filipina. You're a proud woman and you're a proud youngster, right? You're a proud lady boss, like making waves in the financial services sector. I know you've given a ton of advice for everybody who's listening today, but for your last, you know, words or pieces of advice, what do you want to tell aspiring entrepreneurs, human entrepreneurs? I'm not even going to say man, woman, or whatever, right? What would be your advice to aspiring entrepreneurs in going after their business plans in this COVID-19 world, and how to push it forward? Go ahead.
If I have to say one thing, you know, it's a lot of things, but I guess this is very important. Be prepared, okay? Be prepared of setbacks. Don't don't fall into pieces after the first no or after the first few challenges. You have to push through. It's a challenging world. Yes, there's technology that could help you everywhere now compared to before. It's so easy to be connected to everyone. But yeah, just plow through. And at the end of the day, the world will just, or maybe at the end of 1,000 days, the world will eventually say yes to you for being persistent.
I love that. It's because it's the reality, right? You really have to be prepared. You need to learn how to fail fast. Maureen, when you were making cuento, right? When you were sharing that piece of advice, there's this favorite meme that came to my mind, and I think you can really relate. I think there was this meme that says, "You've got 5 minutes. You've got 5 emotional minutes in a day, and then after that 5 minutes, you gotta be gangsta."
That's right. Just
right. So I love what you said. You like don't fall apart, right? Don't fall apart after every no. I mean, you can cry for 5 minutes, but pull yourself together and be gangsta, right? You gotta plow through. I love your term. You gotta plow through. It's hard work.
It's hard work, and also, you know, I always try to put some God element. I'm Catholic, but you know, you just have to also trust that things are going to work out. Honestly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You started it, you're doing it. If things go wrong, what's the worst that can happen? Right? Just keep going.
No, and don't, absolutely.
And if I've learned something from the pandemic as well, I mean, like I said, I always pressure myself. You know, when I was in high school or college, I told myself, I have to have a master's degree by 25. I have to have a business by 30 or something. It's not all about a timeline. I guess that's a lesson that I've learned, that I've thought through during this pandemic, being here in the province, living the flow life in the province. You just really have to, you know, just go with life. And what's the worst that could happen?
I know, because the worst that could happen is that you gain experience.
Yeah.
Right? And
so those who are starting businesses.
Yeah, because it's not easy. It's just a reality. Once you accept that it's not easy, diba, you can charge. You can supercharge your way. And I loved what you said, right? From business owner to business owner, be prepared, right? We didn't know COVID-19 was gonna happen, right? You know, it wasn't in our budget chart. It wasn't in our strategic plan for 2020. Yeah. It really wasn't, right? It's not in your 5-year plan that the pandemic is gonna happen, but it did. And the only thing that we can do is, like what you said, plow through it, right? Of course, there have been our brothers and sisters who you know have had to let go of their businesses, had to look into other ways to do it, but they also plowed through, right? So you know, we do us, you do you, right? Whatever that is, right?
Yeah. And if that means, you know, plowing through doesn't mean you have to keep working hard. Sometimes that also means if you need to do a sideline or to get things through, go do it. It doesn't mean you're failing. You know, failure is just a mindset or whatever.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I love that we're introducing so many things because I feel so strongly about it. You know what? One of the hardest, I have to say, Maureen, one of the hardest plowing through is letting go. Right?
Like, that's true.
Letting go of control is one of the hardest things you're going to have to do, and letting you take a different course, right?
Yes. But then that's when you start, you know, thinking about, I guess it's true that when what the church says, you only go to God when you have problems. But then it's true. When you let go, then you just trust that everything's gonna go well, better than what you planned, actually.
Absolutely. Wow, Maureen, this has just been a riveting conversation. You know, we started with financial services and the challenges of COVID-19. Then we went into how to create, you know, solutions for challenges that can come through as a woman, as a human, right? But more importantly, what's more, you know, what more importantly is what you're gonna do in your position as a leader, as a human, to just grab your future and claim it for you, right? Which is to just keep on moving forward. So this has just been such a beautiful conversation, Maureen. I am so delighted that you and I got to talk and that we got to talk about so many things in such a short span of time. I'm sure if we opened up the other conversation, wala na, we're here for 9 more hours. But I guess we'll just have to have you back. Hindi na siya breakfast. Whole day buffet na siya, right? So Maureen, I want people to get to know more about Vessel. I want to get people to know more about Trade Credit Insurance and the awesome things that you guys are doing. So please let us know, how can people know more about you? How can people know more about Vessel and your industry? Go ahead.
Oh, it's my time to plug.
Yes, it's right. Your time.
Guys, you can know more about Vessel by visiting our website, www.vesseltradefinance.com. Or you can also add us, like us on Facebook, Vessel. It's just Vessel Trade Finance. You can also look for us there. Or LinkedIn, if you have LinkedIn. Yeah.
Awesome. And I think we have to tell them also, Maureen, that for those who are listening and are not tuning into our YouTube channel, Vessel is spelled V-E-S-L, right?
It's right. Vessel Thank you.
Trade yeah. Finance. Yeah. It's so wrong again, spelling. It's V-E-S-L. Okay, add Maureen up for sure.
yeah, you can also add me, I guess. No, I don't think. LinkedIn, it's better.
On LinkedIn, all right. Cool.
Or if you feel friendly, fine. Facebook is fine. Thank you. Thank you as well.
I will add you up, Maureen, because we're besties now.
Thanks, Leia.
No, thank you. Thank you so much, Maureen, for being such a fabulous resource. Speaker, but actually thank you more for the energy that you're putting in. One of the things that you really inspired me today was to look at people and their work as energy. I think that was for me the most powerful thing that you shared today. It's you look at things with their energy, right? So if you want this, you gotta show in your energy that you want it, right? And that you're there to claim it. And as a leader also, you pick and choose the energy, not what society is going to tell you, right? You look into what energy suits you. Fabulous. Well, thank you so much, Maureen. It's been such a joy having you on B2B Breakfast to Business. We can't wait to have you back, and we can't wait to see Vessel shine through for the awesome future that we have for Vessel. All right, cool.
Thanks, Maya.
No, thank you. Thank you. And that's it actually for this morning's B2B Breakfast to Business episode, ladies and gents. We talked financial services. We have a new terminology here, care of Maureen, FinSure Tech, right? It's the combination that you guys want, right? It's what's happening now. It's about finance. It's about insurance. But more importantly, it's about you claiming your future, plowing through, and just, you know, taking what you need with the energy that you've got for 2021. And once again, ladies and gents, that was Maureen Ledesma of Vessel. Don't forget to look up, you know, Vessel and what they have in store for you, because it just might be the answer for your business growth this 2021. Thank you once again for joining us here for our big breakfast. And we can't wait to catch up with you in our next episode. If you join our social media channels, please do, guys. Let us know what else you want to hear about. We talked about EdTech. We talked about FinSureTech. We talked about mobility and transportation. What is next for you? That's it from B2B Breakfast to Business. See you guys soon. Ciao. Thank you. That's it for today's episode of B2B Breakfast to Business with your morning girl, Bea Lim. Join our Facebook community, the Breakfast to Business Club, where we can delve deeper into all of these different topics. Also, please don't forget to tune in to Team Asia's social media accounts to keep yourself updated on these breakfast happenings. Remember to stay safe. See you again soon here at B2B Breakfast to Business. Thank you. Ciao. Breakfast to Business.